June being PTSD Awareness Month. Mm. And we're so lucky today to have Colonel Melinda Woodhurst with us. Good morning. As well as Kano Armstead.
Yes.
And you, I'm sorry, your rank. I don't have your rank. And thank you for your service.
I got out of E4.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm owing much.
Well, you served our country, so in our eyes, it's a lot.
Thanks to both of you for your service to our country. And this is a time of year where we start thinking about it. Of course, we have a lot of things with Flag Day, of course, mm-hmm. with Memorial Day, and coming up on the 4th of July. So lots of thinking about our veterans and how we want to take care of them. PTSD is an elusive problem for some people that many of us as non-veterans don't understand, Kano. Tell us how... what your role is to help veterans today.
Okay, I started at the Vet Center about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And what the Vet Center does, we provide counseling to all combat veterans, / combat PTSD / readjustment.
Okay.
And the thing is that you don't always have to come in to the Vet Center to talk solely about combat PTSD and readjustment. It can be depression, it can be marital issues, but anything that's... if you have combat PTSD or if you've served time in combat, that's the thing specifically. If you serve time in the combat zone, you're able to receive our services.
Mm-hmm. And so, how do they make sure that these veterans get the information? Is that all on the veteran at this time?
No. Matter of fact, we have an outreach guy in our office. His name is Lance Nelson. Mm-hmm. And what he does, he goes to all these different events. You know, but of course, you know, we try to get the word out to the hospital as well.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever they need services, other counseling services, that say, like, if the hospital can only provide, say, this service for 1 month, say you get a counseling session twice a month.
Okay.
If you're lucky, you know, at times, you know, you can come to the Vet Center, you can get weekly, you know, because our service is almost like kind of fluid. Like we have a wider range of hours. Like we have people that come in at 7 o'clock in the morning. And myself, I come in from 10 to 6:30 at night. So if a person wants to come in after hours, they can come in and see me as well after hours.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were watering,
Are there various levels of PTSD, or is it once you have it, you have it?
Yeah. Well, there with certain specific traumas, you can also PTSD can be cured, you know, with certain treatments, you know. But there's also times when, say, a person who say he's been in the combat zone 2, 3, 4 tours, you know, it's like, I think it's about 40% of those that really don't heal from completely from PTSD because there's been so much trauma.
Sort of like
so
layering. There's a layering of
scar tissue.
Yeah, some scar like tissue. A cumulative effect pretty much, you know. Mm. And of course, like one of the high risk indicators is that prolonged extended exposure to the trauma.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Melinda Woodhurst, how is it that you help with veterans as far as job fairs? You have a lot of outreach that you do. Is there a recognition that you have that you can see, or is it something that you recognize as a soldier that you may be able to help us understand better?
As an untrained person in the medical field, what I notice is aggravation and irritation more so than anything else.
Okay.
Someone who's short-tempered, someone who just seems to be agitated, I immediately, and maybe incorrectly, start thinking about that individual as having some PTSD issues. I caution myself when I do that because that is not necessarily the case.
Okay.
I remember myself and a group of my peers sitting on a panel with a... several mental health specialists looking or reaching out to us, asking us if we could advise them on how to talk to veterans who potentially have PTSD. Mm. And that resonated in my mind to say, don't act like they're broke.
Mm. Okay.
Don't act like they're broke because they're really not. Mm-hmm. You don't know what journey they've had. Mm. You don't know how many experiences that they've had. So if you walk up, and I've had folks come up to try to treat me and say, I'm here to fix you.
That seems like the wrong approach.
Yeah. Exactly.
As a layman, it seems like a wrong approach. Yeah. So I can imagine.
But what their heart is in the right place is just that. And I talked to this mental health professional, and I said, who am I? Mm. How long have I served? Do you even know my background?
Mm.
Do you know anything about me?
Mm-hmm.
So why would I sit down in front of you and spill my beans to you about every particular incident that I have had in my 2 combat tours when you don't even know my name?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And PTSD, from my perspective, is about coping.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new normal. Before I went into combat, I was this person. And when I came out of combat, I was a different person.
Wow.
And so PTSD is all about learning how to cope in different ways. It's to find your new normal and how to deal with that new normal.
Yeah.
And
could that, is that through medicine? Is that through hobbies? Like, how do you get someone, when someone comes in your office, they are diagnosed PTSD. Can you walk us through, I know everyone's going to be different, what the pattern is to put them on the path of living a normal life, like you said, a new normal.
Yeah, generally what happens, say for instance, someone comes in my office with a diagnosis of PTSD, you know, so the first thing I start doing, we start doing the whole assessment again, and then just finding where certain areas where they're having different trouble, you know. And so there's usually sometimes 2, 3, 4, you know, events that people usually have issues trying to process through.
Right.
And the biggest thing is that we try to use different forms of what's called cognitive behavioral therapy.
Okay.
Whether it's cognitive processing therapy, basically good old-fashioned CBT, where you know you go through the ABC. It's kind of like activating event behavior, belief systems, and consequences, trying to get them to work through that. Or what I use a lot, say in individual sessions and group sessions, I use a form of what's called the imaginal exposure therapy.
Okay.
Giving them a very safe setting in order for them to go back and try to process through some of their different traumas in the combat experience. It kind of gives a certain level of desensitization to the emotional pain. And so whenever they start thinking about cognitively some of these events, it doesn't spark as much pain.
How can we get in changing the fact that these men and women are going into these situations? I mean, isn't that really the ultimate thing? Like, let's not, I believe even people who, what I've read, people even who are running drones are feeling that PTSD feeling when they're responsible for something that they aren't really quite behind, but what do they have? They don't have a choice at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do we get that dialogue going to change it? I mean, what is the process there?
The process, I would think the process is pretty similar, you know, because I also had an individual that came in. He was experiencing issues of PTSD, but even though he wasn't boots on ground, he was pretty much equipped in the plane, looking at the videos, looking at the targets being hit.
Right.
And it caused that certain level of depression. Of course, the depression is also, it kind of falls under that PTSD umbrella.
Right.
Even though it's not a direct symptom under PTSD, but there's certain things that in the PTSD, different categories that kind of spark some of those levels of depression that result in depression.
Okay.
Yeah. Like pretty much kind of like those persistent negative beliefs of oneself. That's one of the core negative beliefs in PTSD, and something that does relate.
One correlation is when you play video games like World of Warcraft and all that. Uh-huh. At the end of the day, no one died.
No one died.
No one's affected. You just reset the game and you play again. But when you are in these situations, you know that the manifestation of your decisions and your actions could have had a result where someone lost their life.
Exactly.
Or destruction of some kind. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the reality of the cause and effect that really starts affecting the psyche.
Yeah, and you pretty much try to treat it as the same. You don't you don't try to diminish or minimize their experience because they saw it on a video screen.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank goodness that training has evolved over the years. I think back to when my granddads were in the war and they came back and people had no idea what they were dealing with. PTSD wasn't even, if it was a word, it wasn't associated maybe with, I mean, so I just think of what they did and how they were able to cope. And we really never saw any telltale signs.
Yeah.
So we're lucky about that training has come forward.
Yeah.
But what do you want to say to folks that now say, well, I think we might use PTSD as a crutch for everything. It's like ADHD. And when a kid is too hyper, they're ADHD. Let's go ahead and label them that and just move on. Mm-hmm. How do you, what do you tell folks to kind of distinguish a little bit about, like, no, this is a legitimate issue for a lot of our military soldiers.
Yeah.
And it's not to be pushed off to the side because they're soldiers and they're going to come back from war. They're going to be PTSD and just moved on.
Yeah. So, like, often a lot of times some people will come into the office and they would think, you know, so many people were getting service-connected too much for PTSD. When I say service-connected, collecting disability. Collecting disability too much
that's
for
PTSD. Yeah,
collecting too much, you know, and of course, usually my response is that, you know, if you're 5'10", you can't walk into an office at 6'5". You just can't do it.
Good analogy.
So if the symptoms are there, the symptoms are there. You just can't really just, you can't fake sweat. Okay. You can't fake sweat. Mm-hmm. You can't fake tremors. You know, you can't fake that certain emotionality or some of the tears that that come up when you start talking about a specific event. You know,
great example.
Yeah. So a lot of that stuff you just cannot fake, and either you have them or you don't. And of course, you know, in the VA system, the VHA system, of course, you know, the Vet Center program, and then you have the VA hospital and under that umbrella. So in the VA healthcare system, you know, a lot of times it's very, very detailed on how they diagnose and they assess, you know, pretty much the same way in our office. You know, it's very detailed how we go through and assess people who are having issues to combat PTSD/readjustment. Mm-hmm.
There's also non-veterans that deal with PTSD, and that's in the same factor. But at this time, you mainly help the veteran. But have you come across people that you know that you can help cope with something as far as personal trauma that has happened to them? I don't know if you have any friends that seek you out with your training to help them.
To be honest, I kind of, you know, when I go out and meet people, I kind of keep what I say to keep my job to myself.
Sure.
Because a lot of times when people find out what your job is, mm-hmm. they want to start unleashing stories.
Yes. Like, you got to protect yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, okay, you know, no. I want to do it like
Dr. Phil.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I only want to do it in the office.
Well, what can we do? Where can we go? Is there a website that we can take advice from? Or if there is a veteran or a family member that feels that their loved one needs some help, what can we do?
There's a website for the Vet Center program.
Okay.
Yeah, you just type in the Vet Center program, and it'll just pop up. You know, the different areas that we provide. Of course, you know, I come down to Rock Hill 3 times a month.
Okay.
At the York County Veteran Service Office.
Nice.
And provide counseling down there 3 times a month on each the last 2 Tuesdays of the month.
But there's a couple of things that we've got going on as well.
Absolutely.
There are several organizations that are meeting. Mm-hmm. The sole purpose is just to get with other vets who might be in the same situation. Some are breakfasts. There's one called Another Broken Egg that is the first Thursday, 7:30 mm-hmm. in the morning, and it's actually in Ballantyne. That's a group that's been set up. There's one that's in Fort Mill. There's a lunch that's going to be started this Friday here in Rock Hill. Mm-hmm. But my office is actually running a program called the VCAP program, and it's the Veterans Court Alternative Program. Mm-hmm. We work jointly with Kano. We work with the public defender's office. We find individuals who maybe have gotten on the wrong side of the law, mm-hmm. whether it's a domestic issue or DUI or something like that. Maybe not so much DUIs, but they've gotten on the wrong side of the law. So what we try to do, I call it a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
We put them with a mentor. We have mentors. The program is run by John Barnett, mm-hmm. and we induct them in the program as long as the solicitor in my office, we agree mm-hmm. that they are a candidate. And then after some boot camp, for the lack of a better word, we put them through a program, we do some community service, and then the hope is that they'll graduate and then expunge whatever issue that they've gotten. But they have to have a diagnosis of PTSD as a qualifier for the program.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is to say, we know you've got potentially some of these things going on, and it may have caused you to make some real bad decisions at a given time,
mm-hmm.
but we don't think you are to have to live with it for the rest of your life. So we try to give them a second chance.
That's a great way, because if not, then they would go to jail or prison or maybe serve some time, and they'll be in that system, and now they have the trauma of war, PTSD on top of the what comes with being in behind bars.
Yes.
And then what that trail, I mean, it's just a vicious hamster wheel.
If you think about it, if they're in this program and they're being able to positively overcome an issue,
mm-hmm.
then they're already in a indirect recovery program for PTSD. Mm-hmm. It is that teaching them how to cope mm-hmm. to get through that particular issue, mm-hmm. which is going to go a long way for their mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
The South Carolina National Guard has the Service Member Family Care Program.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie, that you know that we've been so passionately supportive of. Jennifer Wolf is a clinical psychologist,
mm-hmm.
and she's a part of that. So the folks in the South Carolina National Guard We have someone in our area that we can reach out to, everything from just stressors to communicating a desire to commit suicide. Suicide is on the rise in York County. Mm-hmm. We found that one-third of the service members that passed away last month were from a result of suicides. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we're going to try to put some teams together to address this, to see what we can do through our programs to help folks who feel that that is an option, to help them cope through that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're so grateful for your service, for Absolutely. Everything that you do for the veterans and to help mm-hmm. them cope with this issue, and let's eradicate it. Let's see what we can do to cope as much as we can.
Thank you.
So Melinda Woodhurst and Kano Armstead, thank you so much for coming and letting us know. PTSD Awareness Month in June. Okay. We'll continue to help and put this on WRHI. Hopefully people will get the message and be able to get their loved ones the help that they need.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.